For those who want to follow, if you want to follow the outline of the service, it's there in the bulletin. If you have a bulletin, groundbreaking message. And we're looking at this passage in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, yeah, and coping with a new message, it starts off. Okay, now, getting the message out, the message about Jesus is a bit like gardening. You know that I like gardening, right? And one of the things about gardening is that you always find there's a lot of hard work in getting your garden going. It could be big rocks that you've got to dig up. Weeds, they keep growing. And you can put a lot of work in and still not make much progress, but it's really good when you get somewhere and you make your garden grows really well. But you see, if you're going to have new growth appearing, you've got to expect obstacles, and that's the point I wanted to talk about today. If we're going to grow as a church, we're going to grow in the Lord's work in our life, we're going to face some weeds, some rocks, some thistles, some difficulties, because that's just the way it is. This idea that the Christian life is something that, you know, you just have no troubles and you just all the time have a smooth life, it's just not right. You know that. We know that. And matter of fact, it's almost like the opposite. When we follow Jesus, we have troubles. Well, we're still blessed, we're still enriched, but, you know, it doesn't mean that life's just going to be smooth. Okay? It's going to be like our life, God growing our life is like when we grow our garden, full of challenges. Now, in the early church, Peter, one of God's special apostles, was chosen to take the message of the gospel out, and he was one of the leaders amongst the apostles, the message of the good news of Jesus. But he had to realise that in doing so, this groundbreaking message was going to face some big hurdles, some big blockages, not just from the world around, but also from the people in the church at that time as well. So you see, on every side there was blockages. So let's have a look at Acts chapter 11 and to see how he teaches us to cope with this new message. Well, there's a new message that's starting to appear, and the message is that Christianity is for everybody, that not just for one nation, but it's for all the nations. And that was a pretty big message. Now, for you and I now, we mightn't say, hey, that's not that great a message. It's, well, we all know that. But up until then, they had very much the idea that God was working in the Israelites, the Jewish community, and that on the day of Pentecost, we're told that there was Jews from everywhere came round to that day. The Holy Spirit was poured out. They spoke in other languages, but they spoke of the glories of God. But it was mainly a Jewish work, right? But now, something different and new was starting to happen. Right. We're told that Peter went up to Jerusalem and he was to face some troubles, because as we learned last week, and the passage actually recounts this event, he'd been through some things where God had spoken to him in a very strange way, like told him to eat from those unclean food that was to come down out of heaven. God sent down a sheet, and not a clean sheet, but a dirty sheet. And he said, I want you to eat from all these dirty things, all these animals that Jewish people never eat anymore. And he said, no, I'm not going to eat from that. I'll make myself defiled. But you know, 3 times that happened. And I think Peter had to get a message. And so that message is repeated over and over to get into his head. That he was not to call something unclean that God called clean. That was the basic message. And it was a big message, because it wasn't just the Jews who were clean, but also the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the nations of the world. Also, if God made them clean, they're going to be clean. Wow. Now, in the process of Peter doing this, he'd gone to the home of Simon the tanner in the end of Acts chapter 9. We're told that he stayed at the hand of Simon the tanner, and you know, it was probably there in the tanner's house that he had this vision about the unclean things. And then later on, we're told, as a result of this vision, he's told to go to the house of a Gentile. Right? Now, for you and I, that may not be such a big thing. But for him, that was a big message. That he was told to go with these other people that had come, and to go back into their house and eat with them, for starters. I mean, that was pretty amazing, eating with them. You know, Jews and Gentiles, what is this? You see? Associating with the unclean people. See that? That he was kind of being taken down a path that he probably wouldn't really like going because of his background. However, we're told that in this message, he faced fire for this new message. In Acts chapter 11, 1 to 3, because when some of the other Jews back in Jerusalem heard about it, even though they were Christian believers, that the Gentiles had received the word of God, we're told that when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. See that? Really, you know what, they weren't so much worried that the Gentiles were included, but that he'd broken the custom of going into the home of these people and eating with them. Sinners like that. Right. So it's not so much the message. It was the message that was radical, but the application of the message. They were critical, they were obstructionist, they were defensive, and they were judgmental. That this message of the gospel could go into the homes of Gentiles, and that Peter, as one of their main guys, would break all traditions by going in and contradicting the ways of the establishment. That was something you just was really, really quite amazing. Let's beware of preventing the spread of the message of grace. Well, what did Jesus say about this message? He said, I haven't come for the righteous, I've come for the sinners. He said, I've come to seek and to save lost ones. Now, Jesus actually had a bit of a bad reputation too, because he ate with sinners. And he went to their home and had some really notorious type of friends. And so if you look at his background, he got himself into a lot of trouble for that. And now Peter was finding the same thing. Peter is led in the way of taking the entire community in a new direction, and he faces fire for his message. Question do we think? What issue do we face fire for in the church? Is it who's our friends? Is it where do we spend our time? Is that where our fire is? So that's a kind of a challenge for us, I think. And so coping with the new message was, we need to understand that if we're going to be God's people and take the message out of Jesus, we're going to be a little bit unpopular. We're going to actually kind of break a little bit of the normal expectations, because, okay, that's what happened with Jesus. And that's what happened with Peter. And so, hey, why are we any different? So, you see, the first thing is facing fire for the new message of grace, of the Spirit being available to all people who call upon the name of the Lord. We see coping with the new message is facing fire. He does this by outlining recent events, and he traces ways that God is working across traditional barriers and he's working in his daily life. And he gives a journal of the recent events. And he tells these believers that come to him, speak to him about the fact that he ate with this uncircumcised person. He tells them what happened. He gives them a journal of events. He talks about how God has been at work teaching him stuff this week. And stuff that has blown his brain out. And he's not too sure what to do with it himself, right? And somehow or other, he's got to convince these people that he's always been friends with that he's following God through this process. So you see, that was a journal of recent events. He tells of the vision, of what he saw, the command that was given to eat. Three times, repeated. He tells of his own objection and how he had to be convinced. And he was telling that he was just thinking about all this when he got a knock on the door. And these three men came from the house of a Gentile and had spoken to him and said, "Listen, we come on behalf of our master Cornelius. And he's been asking to see you because God's spoken to him. God's spoken to him, and God wants you and him to meet and have a chat about the gospel." Ooh. So he outlines all this to these people that come and pull him into line, or trying to pull him into line. And he tells how the Cornelius had been spoken to by the Spirit and had been said that if he would believe, that his whole household would be saved. Verse 14. And so, you know, like, Cornelius wanted to find out from Peter about this message that up until then had been more or less with the Jews. See? And he wasn't a Jew, and Peter had been sent into his home, and the man got converted along with his family. And you know, so he outlined this course of events to these people who were really concerned about it. And he said, not only that, but the Holy Spirit came on all the hearers. There was a cross-cultural connection of the gospel. There was no denying that God was doing something new. The Holy Spirit indicated this by appearing just like he had on the day of Pentecost. It was almost like Pentecost revisited at Antioch. And it was a different thing. So it was as though there was a new work taking place. And so the gospel began to break out. God was moving beyond the little wall. Do you know God moves beyond our little walls? God doesn't need these walls here to do his work. They're nice to have them because it's somewhere to keep the rain off and to meet, and we know we can turn up here each week. But the actual work is not here, it's out there. And this is our challenge, and the burden that we have is that the message is for the people out there at Hilltop or somewhere up there in the backdrops. It happened really, you know, a bit further away, perhaps. I don't know. You know, there's not a lot of Protestant churches around in this area. Do you know that? Okay, in Mittagong, Bowral, Mossvale. Okay, there's Protestant churches. There is one out at Hilltop, I think. But really, from here, this way, apart from the Anglicans, they're doing some good work up the highway, for instance. Presbyterians, we're hopeless. We're hopeless. But you see, the actual church is really not doing that as we should. So we've been called, aren't we, to get out, get the message going. Okay, so now this coping with the new message, we gave a journal of recent events, and then there was the checking it out biblically. Checking it out biblically. Now, this is a very important little principle, right? Okay, God was up to something, but it needed to be checked out biblically. Now, this is where the Presbyterians come good, thankfully, right? We're good at checking things out biblically, right? Praise God. That's a very important thing, right? Okay. Now, to check it out biblically, he remembered what the scripture had said, or verse 16, I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, as the Holy Spirit came down on this Gentile home, and as in community, and when people started to believe, and he turned up in a radical way, he started to think about what the Bible had said about this, and a verse came into his head, and there it is, something that Jesus had said. This was confirmation given by the Lord. If God gave them the same gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? I remembered, this is what the Bible had said. This is what God has been trying to get through. That this was the period that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out across all the nations. See that? Wow. We need to be led by our minds to follow with our hearts and our actions, checking out biblically and making adjustments. So then there was the reinforcing of the new message in verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, so then even Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Notice that, God has granted repentance that leads to life. You know, I can't argue with it. God has given the Gentiles opportunity to have everlasting life. Thankfully, when the circumcised believers heard this, they accepted the word of God. Praise God. They said, hey, yeah, this is God's work. And so they went along with it. Because they know that God is working. They're learning that God is working in these other people. So there was a confirmation of the new message. There was a groundbreaking message, coping with it, facing its fire, the giving the journal of events, confirmation of scripture, and the reinforcing of the message by the church, by the devout believers. And confirmation of it was that the Lord's hand of approval was upon this. God blessed it. The church had been scattered, verse 19, by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them. There it is. As they were scattered under persecution, they took the message and God blessed it. Changed people's lives through the message. He gave his seal of approval on this new work. Even as the church was persecuted, spread out, it began to grow. And then there was the authentication of that in verses 22-24. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas, good old Barnabas, to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. A great number of people were brought to the Lord. So it was that Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was sent. Thankfully, they sent a good fellow to check it out. And he was so happy to see this work. But you see, it was important for the church back there in Jerusalem to authenticate what was happening at Antioch. They had to make sure that it was an orthodox work, that it was according to the scripture, and that it was in lining up with what Jesus had been on about. And so there was the authentication of the new movement. And there was no doubt when Barnabas saw that, he was glad. And there was no use denying it. There was obviously a word, God's work. People were brought to the Lord. And so then there was just the developing of the new movement. And Barnabas contacted the leadership and he called for Saul of Tarsus, and Saul comes across and a new cross-cultural work began at Antioch. And you know, Antioch became like the new centre of the church. It became the new mission base for the church in the Roman Empire. And Christianity emerged at Antioch. And Christians, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. At Antioch, over there, but if you want one. But they were first called Christians at Antioch. And this was a work that was to grow and blossom and to spread out from there across the world. Then there was a warning to the national crisis. We won't have time to go into that too much. But the prophets from the hometown of Jerusalem came to Antioch to confirm the work, and one of them, named Agabus, spoke of a great famine across the Roman Empire, which would, of course, assist in the Gentiles turning back to the Lord. This is just like in the drought, causing us to turn back to the Lord. And as we're aware of the country ministries. So there was warnings of national crisis, and then there was a consolidation of the church in crisis in the last part of the chapter. The disciples, as each was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea because of the fact that there was this famine. They did this by sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So there was help in crisis. There was love gifts. And so the church was growing and changing and being moulded. It was a groundbreaking message. And God was confirming that it was for all the nations. And starting at Antioch, and it went from there and began to spread. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you for that recount of how the gospel began to break new ground outside the inner circle, and how we are called ourselves to have minds for people outside the inner circle. To remember that we're called to seek and to save the lost, and to have that same heart that Jesus had and that Peter was taught. We pray this in Christ's name. humming. Our last hymn then is going to be, we've heard a joyful sound.